God, we are blessed, aren't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Sure appreciate everybody coming out. It's nice to have humans to preach to and not fabric chairs. Right? Just be truthful with you, you know. But I'll tell you, I'll get them all saved. I'd get all those chairs saved and blessed and walking in the fullness of God if I had to. Praise the Lord. Well, we're blessed to be here, aren't we? Hallelujah. It's an honor to be here with the Word. Let's pray and believe God. Father, we thank you for the Word tonight. We thank you, Father, that what you want said will be said. What you want done will be done. Father, we thank you for utterance from the Holy Ghost tonight. Father, not my own words, but words from heaven. As oracles of God, make my tongue the pen of a ready writer. Father, speaking words in season to hit bullseyes in people's hearts. And Father, I thank you that every time we gather, it's an opportunity to go higher. It's an opportunity to be bettered, not only individually, but Father, for the kingdom of God, so we can make an impact on this earth. For Father, we know our time's short, for you said you will come quickly. So Lord Jesus, we want to do everything that we can to be right with you, to make an impact in the short time that we do have left. And we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, kind of Sunday, and then this coming Sunday was kind of a vision casting service, just to, you know, I realized the importance of being in unity, and the time, you know, when I was out in California, if I got anything out of those meetings, which I did get a lot, but the main thing was that, you know, the time is short, you know, and even if there was 100 years left, it's still short, and you know, to make as much of an impact as we can while we're here. I mean, that's my goal. I'm just not here to play a game or just to have a church for the heck of it. I want to actually raise people up to change the world and give the devil a black eye. Praise God. And it's not going to happen unless we're in unity. And so we kind of cast some vision on Sunday that what kind of a church we are. And if you want to be on board, listen, we don't want any weights or hindrances. We want to run with the vision. And we're a word and spirit church. Praise God. And we brought some things out in the Bible on Sunday about what being a word church means. That if you're going to be a word church and you say, I'm all in, and yes, Pastor, I'm with you, well, you have to understand the word is bold, isn't it? That the word at times, if we're going to have, you know, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3, Paul said, pray for me that the word of God would have free course. Free course. What does that mean? The ability to go and do what it needs to do, to be said. And if we're going to create that atmosphere here where there's free course, where I can speak anything that's on my heart and you'll receive it no matter how much it rubs you the wrong way, no matter how much it steps on your toes, boy, we'll get some things done. Praise God. Because and we have to understand that we just have to know that that's going to happen to us individually. Praise God. I've seen so many people, and it's amazing if you listen to any of those services when I was in California, you hear the pastors talk about the same thing. People that have left because of the Word of God, people that got offended at the Word. And so it's like, man, I feel like I'm in good company then, you know, that it's not just happening here. It happened to Jesus. Praise God. We'll see that tonight. But we're going to build upon Sunday's message talking about the Word. Because one thing that was amazing to me, I preached this service in both places, Olean and South Dayton. Last week, Saturday and Sunday, there were different things came out in each service, which is usually the case when I go on the same topic. But I was amazed at the response that I got. It was positive, which is a good thing. You know, people aren't excited to go on with the word, but that people were so. It seemed to be an overwhelming response of. We enjoyed the boldness of it and how bold it was, and really all that I said Saturday and Sunday was. We're going to be a Bible church. Amen? And so I was kind of surprised that people were so focusing on the fact of how bold the message was. And really, it was just me telling you that, hey, we're going on with the Word of God. No matter what the Word says, we're going to preach it. We're not going to hide from it. We're not ashamed of it, right? We're not. No matter what the politics say, no matter what social pressure says, no matter what individuals may believe or think, we're going on with the Bible. Praise God. And so, I wanted to further help you with this tonight, and I will encourage people that were not here tonight to listen to this on live stream, because if we're really going to be that church and have that atmosphere where the Word can do anything, and where you can, because let's face it, the things you're doing wrong is what's hurting your life, right? I mean, can we be honest? It's not the things you're doing right in the Word that's hurting you. It's the things that you're not doing and not following. Well, don't we want to be the best Christian we can be, the most powerful, the most like Jesus we can be? Well, then we have to understand that we're human, that we make mistakes, and that we're not perfect. I know, that was a revelation to us, right? We're not perfect. And Thank God he's merciful and he understands that. But he doesn't expect us to just say and to just rest on those laurels of, well, you know, we're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. I heard one comedian say this. He said one time, he said, I heard that nobody was ever going to be perfect in life. And everybody always told me practice makes perfect. So I knew nobody could be perfect. So I just stopped practicing. Right? Well, I guess I didn't deliver it as good as he did, but because it was a lot funnier when he said it. But anyways, probably messed the whole joke up, but you get the gist of it. And so we don't just rest on the fact to say, well, you know, we're not going to be perfect anyways. And so these things that are hindering us and holding us back, well, I'll just take them with me to heaven and just... No, we want to be as much like Jesus on the earth as we can. I mean, we're the Bible calls us to strive for that. Praise the Lord. We'll never reach perfection, but we ought to reach maturity. And we ought to strive for perfection and go in those ways. And the main reason is not only will it be a blessing to your life, but God will be able to work through you more and use you more, which will be in turn a blessing to people. And so we have to, if we're going to be that church, we have to realize that there is going to be times that the Word is going to rub us the wrong way, that it's going to challenge our individual ideas, our individual beliefs. It's going to challenge our lifestyle. It's going to challenge different things and old doctrines that maybe we came out of other churches or loved ones that have told us, and the Word tells us something completely different. We just have to make up our mind that we're Bible no matter what, that we're going forward with God in the Word no matter what it means, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it could cost us. Praise God that we want to go forward with the Word. And really that comes down to a trust in Him. Doesn't it? I trust you enough, Lord, that whatever you say, I want my life to look like that. Even if it stings at first, even if I don't agree with it, even if it's something that is just very foreign to me and my flesh, even if, Lord, I'm going on with you. Praise God. That's going to be the most powerful and dynamic church we can be. And so tonight, what I want to show you in the Word is that the will of God is that the Word be preached with boldness. That the Word is not meant to be fluffy. That the Word at times will absolutely get right in your face. And we've talked about this, and it's amazing. As much as I even talk about it, there still come situations where the Word is told to somebody about something, whether it's through preaching, whether it's through their personal meditation, whether it's a counseling meeting, one-on-one, and they bring up things about their life, and I tell them, that's not in line with the Word, it's hurting you. And people fall away, and they get offended, and they get upset. And I'll tell you, it's amazing. And so the way that that's going to happen less and less is if we preach it more and more. You're not going to get a harvest where you don't sow a seed. And so we're sowing a seed with things like offense and things like the Word. But it's important for you to see that way when it crushes you and it stubs your toes and you got to go home and have someone put some lotion on your little toes or rub your feet and bandage them all up, you'll know this is the way it is. But see, here's what you're going to find tonight. You're going to find out you have a sweet pastor. Because you talk about somebody that was bold. See, people have the wrong idea of who Jesus was. Oh, he's this little sweet Jesus you see on the movies. This little wimpy guy that goes around looks like a wuss. That wasn't the real Jesus. And I want to bring out some things tonight that show you that Jesus was bold. That Jesus told it like it was. He didn't back off his message, praise God. He went after it, hallelujah. And when you see that, you're going to say, I thank God for my pastor. I'm glad Jesus is in heaven and not here pastoring me. He wouldn't be so sweet with me as Pastor Mike is. Hallelujah. You're going to see some things. But it'll help us. What we're doing is we're trying to cultivate a field here. You can't get a good harvest in a field. A farmer can't just go out and, well, I'll just throw seed out. He's got to work the land. Well, that's what we're doing. We're working the land so then when the seed of correction or the seed of going forward gets planted, you're ready to grow, praise God. You're not standing against it. In fact, one of the wrong grounds that receive the Word is said that they get offended for the Word's sake. The Word gets preached and they're not good ground to receive that. Well, we want to be good ground here. Hallelujah. And we're not backing off the Bible. We're going to preach it with boldness. And so Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 19, we're going to show you what the will of God is for the Word. Now, Paul said this, he said, and for me. So this verse goes along with verse 18, but in verse 18, all he's talking about is prayer. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then he says, and for me. Now, he's the minister. He's the one speaking the Word of God. He's the one delivering. He's the sower of the word, right? He says, and for me, that utterance would be given unto me. And of course, we've taught you to pray for these things. You know, we want utterance. You know, I plan and prepare the best I know how and follow my heart. But we want those utterances from heaven that come out of nowhere, that weren't planned, that all of a sudden, on the spur of the moment, something gets dropped in my heart to say, and the knowledge of the word breaks those chains. We want those things. So be praying for utterance. But notice this too, that I may open my mouth boldly, not like a wuss with his tail between his legs, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. Well, there's a couple things that we learn from this, and we won't turn there, but in Acts 4, we see the disciples, after they were threatened, they went back to their own company, and they said, Lord, grant unto your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. Well, we see a couple things here. Number one, that God's will is that the word be preached with boldness. That the word be preached with boldness. That is God's will. And the second thing we learn here is that if Paul's asking for you to pray for him for boldness, it's telling you that there's a temptation in the natural man to not share the word with boldness, that they need prayers for that to be able to happen. And I know that feeling. Maybe you know that feeling when you're dealing with somebody one-on-one, a family member, a friend, or maybe even a spouse or a child. They're not doing what the Word of God says. They're not following the Bible. They're not living the way that God would have them to live. And I had an experience this week that just tells you, kind of points out the fact that when you sometimes go to deliver the Word, even though the Word is the help, the Word is the uncorruptible seed, the Word is. This is everybody's help. I mean, it crosses all boundaries, all cultures, all poverty, everything. And I was dealing with a family, don't go to the church, that went through a tragedy years ago. They went through a tragedy. I don't want to get into all the details about it. And they went through a tragedy years ago. Well, they, in their wrong teaching and in an attempt to comfort themselves, have their mind made up that God was the author of that tragedy. Well, He's not. We see some of those things clearly in the Word. And I have a yearly encounter with these people, and this always comes up, and I'm there for sometimes an hour, maybe even more, and you know, they're such sweet people. I'm so compassionate for them. You know, they sit there and just weep about this, and the one thing they'll say is, well, God did this. Well, even though that is an attempt to make them feel like it almost gives the thing that happened validation to them in their mind. But it's still not the highest and best. Even though that may seemingly comfort, that's a lie from the enemy. So we know there's a better way for them. Well, I was driving down the road getting ready to go see them, and it dropped into my spirit. Why don't you give the husband and wife one of your books? Well, that whole book is based on goodness of God and that He's not the author of those things. And I thought, that's a great idea, Lord. I'm going to do that. I don't know why I didn't think of that before. You know, because I don't know about you, but how can you ever have faith in God if you think He's causing you tragedies? If in the back of your mind, let's say when you're sick, if in the back of your mind there's a little shred of doubt that's telling you, you know what, He made you this way, He wants you to stay this way, and He doesn't want to help you get out, how can you believe Him with the faith that doesn't waver, or a financial trial, or anything that happens, if you're thinking in the back of your mind, God did this to me, it's going to crush your faith, and it's crushing their faith. I can't imagine thinking that God would do that to me. Oh man, that would be a terrible, terrible way to live. So I thought, that's a great idea, Lord, I'll do that. And then instantly, when I had made up my mind to do it, the bombarding thoughts came. What if you offend them? What if they read it and it shatters them and their beliefs, and now all of a sudden they're lost, and all these things are flooding in, and you're tempted. I mean, there was a second there where I was tempted, I'm not going to do it. And I thought, wait a second, I got what they need. The word is higher than that lie that they're being fed. Even though it might shatter what they've thought for the last 6 years that God did it, it's the word brings life. The entrance of that word brings life. And so I can see why Paul would say, pray for me, because there's times I'll get up here or utterance will come to me and it'll come in my heart. And to get it out of here is not the easiest thing in my flesh. And so he says, pray that boldness. So we want to be praying for boldness. Amen. But know this, that when utterance comes and boldness comes, and I love what Pastor Nancy said last week. She said, the ones that get offended are the ones that are showing you they weren't the ones praying for the utterance and the boldness. She said, if you get offended when the man of God or woman of God gets up and speaks the word of God that rubs you the wrong way, it is a sure sign that you are not praying for utterance and you are not praying for boldness. Because the ones that pray for utterance and boldness say, step on my toes. Bring it on. Help me. Help me grow. I know I'm not perfect. I need to help growing. Praise God. So we want to be praying for these things. And I want to show you to help you. So when you see these things, if we're going to say, yes, we're a word church. Yes, we're going forward. That means we have the freedom to preach anything in the Bible, any utterance that would come up from my Bible, any from the Word of God into my spirit. Anytime we meet one-on-one, anytime we get together and there's something in your life, it gives me freedom to point that out. Praise God. Amen. Now, some people don't want that. And they just better stay away from me. Because I got to do it. I got to do it, right? Just like someone does it in my life. And I'm so thankful for that correction. I'll tell you. I've just made up my mind. Nothing is going to offend me. Nothing is going to offend me anymore. I don't care. I understood I have not arrived. There is far more I don't know than I do know. And I need help from someone that knows better than me. So just step on my toes, Pastor Michael, all you want. Praise God. So we're going to look at that, but we're going to see this will help you. The boldness of Jesus. I want to point out some things. Because when you see, wow, you know what? That's not just my pastor being a meanie. Because there's some things here that I'm going to point out to you that make Jesus look on the surface like, man, what a J-E-R-K. I'm spelling that out in case Caleb's listening. Because last night there was a little kid, Noli, and I said it like, oh, I should have said that word. So I'm going to spell it out in case Caleb's listening right now. So he's, I know what he's doing right now. Mommy, what's a J-E-R-K? That's what he's doing. And so anyways, make Jesus look that way. But we know Jesus was full of love and compassion. Just like when he told that Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was grievously vexed with the devil, he ignored her the first time. She came running to him. Lord, help me, help me. My daughter's grievously vexed to the devil. Jesus didn't even say a word to her. That looks mean. On the surface, that looks mean, but we know he's not mean. He was the picture of the Father. Well, then they ran over to the disciples, and they came running back to him. This lady troubles us. He continued to ignore her. He said the healing bread doesn't belong. It belongs to the children, not her. And then he called her a dog. I mean, it got worse. What a meanie. But he was never mean. He was always full of love. He was trying to get her to a place. He's trying to get her to a place of faith, praise God. But on the surface, and so that way when we see, wow, Jesus was bold, that when pastor just gets up here and speaks the word with clarity, when you're going through a situation, you reach out and he tells you exactly what to do, and you might be doing 180 degrees different than what you're supposed to, you know it's from a place of love. You know it's from a place of growth, and you know this is how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be preached with boldness. Praise God. So let's look at the Jesus, the boldness. Remember now, he was the word. The Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, talking about Jesus. Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 14. I want to point out some things of his boldness. I think maybe we'll be surprised at some of them. I know I was kind of surprised looking at these again. Matthew 10 and verse 14. Praise God. It says this. Now listen to what Jesus said about people that didn't want to receive his word. See, this is why I'm telling people, and it sounds so bold to say, if you're not with us, don't come back. It sounds so bold and all that's so mean. But look at the words that Jesus said. He said, whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words. Well, what words were the disciples talking? The word of God. They weren't coming in there and telling them their theories and their ideas and their philosophies. Whosoever shall not receive nor hear your words, when you depart out of that city, shake the dust off your feet. Praise God. One translation in Luke says that they don't want anything, one translation says they don't want anything left from those people that didn't want the word, even shake the dust off as a sign against them that we don't want nothing that you have. That's bold. Jesus didn't say, oh, coddle them and try to convince them of the way. He said, if they wouldn't receive it, shake the dust off your feet and leave. And then look what he says. In verse 15, and this is why I'm a stickler for the word. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, which by the way was destroyed for its wickedness and evilness. It'll be more tolerable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. For what city? The city that wouldn't receive the word. He said, Sodom and Gomorrah are going to have it better than the people that say, I don't want the word of God. That's why I'm saying, if you're not with, and you're not for the word, you're not a correctable person that wants to receive the word, it's probably a wrong place for you to be. Yeah. And I don't mind saying it because Jesus told the disciples, he said, just leave them there. Leave them then. If they, see, when you're right, well, I should say when you get it right, because I don't care about being right myself because I'm just preaching the manual. But when you're right, what else do you have to offer people? I mean, like, there's nothing more I can offer you except the Word of God. It's the best thing that there is possible. It's like giving that book to those people. The thoughts come, oh, wait a minute. I have exactly what they need. I have the right way. It's going to change their life. Praise God. There's nothing better that can change your life. Hallelujah. And Jesus knew that. Glory to God. He said, shake the dust off. That's bold. That's bold. Now, the people that say, oh, you'd think he'd be more patient with us. No. If you don't want to receive the word, fine. Fine then. I'll go on to somebody that will. Praise God. Yeah. Jesus was a little bolder than I was. John 6 and verse 60. John chapter 6 and verse 60. Praise the Lord. Just showing you some of the examples of the boldness of Jesus. So when your pastor gets up here and wrecks shop on a Sunday morning or gets up here and starts spewing the word and people, oh man, he's just so mean, doesn't care. You'll know Jesus was worse than me. In a good way. John 6 and verse 60. It says, now you have to understand the context before this, for time's sake. He just got done preaching a sermon, basically telling that he was basically the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't use those words in this portion, but he was saying that he's the bread that's from heaven, and you have to partake of him in order to receive eternal life. And it was a hard thing for them, and they just weren't down with what he said. And look what it says. Many. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, heard what? The word. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Now look what Jesus said. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it or complained or fussed about it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Does this rub you the wrong way? Does this bother you? Glory to God. He knew it did. And then he said, he goes on to say, what, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not the word, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now look at verse 66. From that time, from that sermon, from that point when he preached the word, many, everybody say many, many of his disciples, not talking about first-time visitors. We're talking about disciples. They had benefited from the ministry of Jesus. They had hooked on and latched on to him. And then something came and rubbed them the wrong way, challenged their beliefs, challenged their traditions, challenged their own ideas, challenged their own mind and flesh. And it says from that time, from that sermon, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Oh, man. And I'll tell you what, Jesus, I know what you mean. I'm talking about people, and I've told you the stories, and they're true. You would be shocked at some of the stories. Praise God. They don't pertain to any of you. You're still here. Glory to God. But how people that have just, I'm talking, have latched on. Have praised the church up and down, praised me up and down for preaching the word. I mean, people that have said, in 6 months being here, hearing the word, we've grown more than 30 years in our old church. I've heard that stuff. And the same people, a week removed from texts and messages and hugs and handshakes like that, will hear something that will challenge them and boom, gone. From that point, don't follow anymore. And it's amazing. But you know what? We're in good company because it happened to Jesus. Amen. Isn't that amazing? What he was saying was perfect. There was nothing wrong with it. It was 100% bullseye, will of God, word of God, and people just said, I don't want that. Because sometimes people say, and I used to think this, I don't understand. I had one person who had benefited from the word of faith message, which is the speaking and believing before you see it, that message. Benefit from it. Get prosperous off of it. Have a trial come into their life, call me and say, I don't believe a word that you say anymore. That word of faith, that speaking business. I think, what, that Mark 11:23 red letter business? That stuff you don't believe? But it happens. People benefiting from it. I mean, it's amazing to me, people that just give up what they had, how easily they can walk away. I mean, telling me we have grown, my kids have grown, my finances have grown, and just so quickly on a dime be gone and never come back. Well, it happened to Jesus. It's going to happen to us. Praise God. The Bible says in the last days there'll be seducing spirits and doctrines of devils to come in and try to seduce people away from the faith. But it's amazing to me, and we shouldn't sit here and think, well, that'll never happen to me. I'm too good for that. Don't think that way. Think, Lord, help me so that never happens to me. I want to be correctable. I want to be open. But it's so sad. People that have all of a sudden no value for what was sown into them for years. Isn't that sad? That's sad. Praise God, that's sad. And it's amazing to me that it happens. What do they? They didn't place a value on what they were receiving. They didn't place a value on what they were receiving. Something came along, rubbed them the wrong way or whatever. Didn't place a value on what they were receiving. Glory to God. How many of you know that, let me read this next verse here before I say this. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Verse 67. Now, Jesus, you'd think, he just had the biggest church exodus that he's ever had in his ministry. All of a sudden, multitudes of people have now left him. On the surface, it would look like that guy must be nuts because his church just went from up here population-wise to down here. And the whole time he was right. The whole time he was right on the money. It tells you something about numbers, doesn't it? Don't always think that where the biggest numbers are, that's where the best. There are some churches with thousands and thousands. And they're flesh churches. They're seeker-sensitive churches. They don't preach the word. Do you know? Can I just tell you? We would already have to have three services, and I'm not exaggerating. If I stopped preaching tithing, if I stopped preaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost and that speaking word of faith business, how do I know? I can think of family after family that have told me if you didn't talk about tithing, I'd come back. I have to. I'm sorry, I have to talk. If you didn't mention that tongues business, we'd probably stick around with you. I'm not lying to you. This is true stuff, the things that I hear. They don't leave because they're mad at somebody. They don't leave because the church, you stink at playing guitar, Pastor Mike. I think one lady did because she came here and said, I'm here because my church's not very good at music. I said, I'm sorry, ma'am. It's just me and a guitar. I hope you enjoy it. And then she never came back. So I think she was gone because of the music. But most people that have left, I'm telling you the truth, it's always been a doctrinal thing, a Word of God thing. Rubbed them the wrong way. They didn't want to. You know, what happens is, here's the neatest, weirdest thing that happens, is that tithing is polarizing in the sense that it does cause people to go, but it's not the tithing that causes people to go, it's the wrong thoughts that they receive. Tithing causes you to be blessed. But anyways, people will stick around for a while, and because of the conviction, they don't want to deal with the conviction anymore. See, nobody knows if you're tithing or not. That's between you and God, right? Even if I were to look at everybody's offering, I don't know what your paycheck was, and I'm not, you know, what's 10% of that? I don't, that's between you and the Lord, right? Amen. But it's amazing that you just think, well, then if you don't like the tithing message, but everything else is blessed, you just stick around. But see, the conviction gets to be too much. See, when the Word of God is preached, there's conviction. And it gets so weighty. They get tired of feeling like that. Well, they should just yield to it. And just start doing the word, and it'll go away. Let me just tell you something. You'll never be satisfied in life if there's an area in your life where you know you're not doing the word and you don't address that area. I'm not saying that we won't have areas that we're struggling. The important thing is to go forward. But if you just say, whatever, you'll never have peace. It will affect your body and it will affect your finances, but the major thing that it'll affect is your mind. You'll never have peace in life. You'll always be miserable. I know, because every time I walk outside the will of God, it is like just, I go to pray and it's right there in my face. Deal with that. You know, you got something against somebody, or you're not walking in love the way you should, or maybe a character issue. Boom, right there. You can't get past that. And if you try just to push that aside, you'll be miserable. The most miserable thing in the world is a Christian not doing the word. I'm telling you. I know, because I've been there. I was one miserable son of a gun. It's the truth. It's the truth, but look at what Jesus, so he went, lost most of his church here. And notice what he says. He looks to the 12, the ones that remained. So we don't even know how many hundreds or thousands of people left him because multitudes followed him everywhere. But the disciples stayed and he looked at the 12, the rest of his church. And most preachers would have been like, don't you dare leave me. Boys, I need you now. You know what this looks like? You know what they're going to write about me? You know what they're going to say in town? There's not going to be as many cars in the parking lot. There's not going to be as many people filing out on a Sunday morning. Boys, you can't leave me. Stay with me. Let's go try to track them down and compromise the message. He didn't care. He didn't care. What did he say? He looked at him and said, will you also go away? Basically said, are you next? I love it. I love that boldness. See, he knew he was right. He wasn't going to change his message. He wasn't going to try to beg anyone or coerce anyone to stick around. And I'll say this as my experience, the short experience that I've had in the ministry so far, is that the people that I've had to beg and coerce, and when I say beg, I go after sheep when they leave. I love people, and I mean, I'm talking about staying up all night long, just grieving over people that have left over the Word, just praying for them and trying to help them. And I'll go after them. But you know the people that I've had to go after to try to talk back to coming into church and talk back into the Word? They've never, ever stuck around and had produced any fruit. The one you have to put the most, the ones you have to put the most time in with always, okay, you know, patting them on the butt and everything, the ones you have to put the most time in, bear the least amount of fruit. And the pastors I talk to, same thing across the board. It's just, the fact is, there's just some people that are not good ground. There's just some people that are not good ground. And the ones that I have to go after and constantly talk off the ledge of leaving, they eventually always just go. They never stick around. It's never bore any fruit, ever. But I do it anyways, because the good shepherd will go after the one. 100 sheep, but one strays. You'll go after him because you love people so much. But I love Jesus. He just said, are you going to go away? You next? If you want to go, go. I'm not going to miss God. That's why I said, if the Word causes us to empty our seats, I'm going to keep I'm not going to back off of it. That's why, get on board or get off board, right? Praise God. But look at what Simon Peter said, and he was smart for once. Verse 68, I probably would have been worse than Peter, so I shouldn't make fun of him. He'll probably hit me or something when I get to heaven. Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, where are we going to go? If we leave you, where are we going to go? And I'm here to tell you, I'm not saying this church is the only church. That would be foolish. But I'll tell you what, a church like this is few and far between in the world. I'm telling you, it's the truth. A church that will preach the Word of God, will flow with the Holy Ghost. How do I know? Because I've been around the church circles. I've been in different churches. I've talked with different pastors. I know what they teach. I've been in pastor prayer meetings. And I sit there, I walk away, I think, oh my God, Lord, help them sheep. I'm serious. Not out of a judgmental way. You can tell what people believe in 5 minutes of talking to them. Being around with traveling ministers that go to church after church saying, you don't know how good the family churches have it. And this isn't a family church thing. It's a Word of God thing. You know, you don't know how good you have it, that they'll teach you the Bible, flow with the Holy Ghost, where you're safe, where there's not manipulation and all these gimmick type things. Praise God. Yeah. He said, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? He was smart. He said, I've been with you, Lord. I see you the right way. I see it works out with you. You've helped me in my life. I'm not just going to walk away when something gets tough. I'm not just going to give up on you when something challenges me. I see that you're the real deal and you work. Praise God. And I'll just, people say, oh, you're saying this, because I've had people say this to me. You're just saying this to coerce us to stay. Well, let me tell you something. I have yet to see anybody that was in their place receiving the Word of God that walked away. I've yet to see it ever work out in the long run good for them. Ever. And every pastor I talk to, same thing. Not because we're hoping it doesn't work out, but when you leave the place where God puts you, glory to God. I shudder to think of that. I know, but Jesus was like, go ahead if you want to go. And Peter was smart. Where would we go, Lord? Hallelujah. Well, let's look at some correction things. Luke chapter 9. Because remember, the Word's going to correct you. Amen? Amen? It will. You know, I got to preach holiness. The Bible says be holy. So you got to preach holiness. And when people live like the devil, go places where the devil congregates, goes places where the Spirit of God isn't, and does things, you got to preach on it. You got to preach on it. It's not helping people's lives. It's opening the door to the enemy. You got to do it. And that's going to step on people's toes at times. But we're just going to do it anyways. Hallelujah. Amen. Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. It said, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent many messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he was going to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, saw what? The Samaritans not receiving Jesus. They said, Lord, would you at this time command that we would command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? They're basically saying, Lord, do you want us to send a flame from heaven and burn them up. And he turned and rebuked them, corrected them. He said, you know not what manner of spirit you are. Well, if they're not acting of the Spirit of God, what spirit are they being influenced by? There's only two categories of spirits on the earth. The devil's kingdom and God's kingdom. Yeah. So he's saying, you're not acting in line with God's will. So if you're acting in line with God's will, you're being influenced by the devil. Well, that's a heavy thing to take. I mean, I've never told you that, have I? Maybe I have. I don't know. But I don't think I have. Well, you're being motivated by the devil. What's wrong with you? Well, I know what most people would do. Oh, how dare he do that? Well, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. They stayed with him. They took their correction. They took their spanking and went on, praise God. Took their correction, their spanking, and went on. Go with me to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. You're foolish to think that you can grow and be all that God wants you to be if you don't think you're ever going to be corrected. If you don't ever think you're going to be told you're doing it the wrong way. Whether it be one-on-one, whether it be through preaching, whether it be through the Holy Ghost or through personal meditation in the Word. We just have to realize it's going to happen. But you know what? The correctable ones are the ones that can grow. Amen. Yeah, the correctable ones are the ones that will grow. Praise God. I've seen it over the years. Matthew 16. I think maybe that's one reason God's been able to use me. Because even in my many mess-ups, my heart's never been to say, you know, I'm doing it on purpose, Lord. I don't love you. It's just, you know, you have a stupid attack. You ever had a stupid attack? They all said you were attacked by stupid. You couldn't do anything about it. It just overtook you. Stupid came and just got all over you. Yeah, I've had those, right? Thank God for mercy. But, you know, even in those, I'm, as far as I know, to say this truthfully, there's nothing in my life that I wouldn't be open to changing. Nothing. I mean, I just want to be right with him. You know, as far as I know, there's nothing that I would get huffy and puffy about. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, right? Praise God. But anyways, Matthew 16 and verse 21. From that time forth, he began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Well, what's Peter? Peter didn't want to see Jesus die, but that was the will and the word of God, was that Jesus would die, be raised again. And Peter said, no, what's Peter saying? I don't want the Bible. I don't want the word. No, even though didn't want to see Jesus go through that, he was still going against what the Bible said. And he said, be it far from me, Lord, this shall not be unto you. He's basically saying, over my dead body. But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, oh man, get behind me, Satan. Oh, ouch. Can you imagine you walk in here? Pastor Mike, so good to see you. It's so good to see you too, Satan. Yeah, can you imagine? That's what he did. Get behind me, Satan. Look at this. For you are an offense to me. Ouch. That's two things. Number one, Satan. Number two, you're an offense to me. For you savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Ouch! Three, boom, 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 Peter. Take that, Peter. Wow. Now, we know that Peter didn't go anywhere, did he? We know Peter didn't get lippy. You know, it's interesting that Jesus would say this to somebody that left all to follow him. Peter left everything he ever knew to follow Jesus. He did. He and went with him for 3.5 years. Followed him. Whatever Jesus wanted to do, Peter was right there with him. Left his career, left everything behind, praised God, and went. And here's Jesus. Peter could have easily gotten in his flesh, got all huffy puffy and said, don't you know what I've done for you? Don't you know I'm using it in church here. Don't you know the money I've given? Don't you know the time in nursery I've spent? Don't you know the time on the worship team, the time in the parking lot? Don't you know everything I've done for you? Don't you know? You need to make sure that you give your pastor an open door to speak freely into your life. I'm serious. You need to make sure that your pastor doesn't have this wall up that I gotta tiptoe around you and walk on eggshells. It'll hurt your life. The first thing I say to my pastor when I get in the car is, Pastor, what do you see in my life that needs correcting and changed? And he says, oh, I said, I just want you to know that I want, he said, oh, don't worry, I'd tell you. He doesn't need my permission. He got my permission long ago, and I said, I'm sold out, whatever, let's go with the Word. And again, in context of the Word of God, not weird cult things, making you do weird things and crazy, stupid Kool-Aid stuff, right? That's because we don't want to get in that ditch. We're talking about a freedom to speak into your life when things are off, when things are brought up maybe in prayer that come to me. I mean, it happens a lot of times with people. The sheep come up to me, and it's just make sure that you are an open door to be able to say, Pastor, correct me, because I would hope you would know by now it's from a place of love. It's a place of love. I just love people. I'm not trying to hurt you or be mean. I'm not broadcasting your sin in front of everybody or the things you're doing wrong or you know, putting it on Facebook or sending emails to everyone. It's just between you and God. And if anything, you should be comfortable around me. I stand up here in front of people every week and tell you how much I miss it and things. And so I'm with you. Praise God. But anyways, this is your offense to me. And look what it says in verse 23 in the Amplified. If you pull it up in the Amplified, Heather, I love this. It says, but Jesus turned away from Peter and said to him, get behind me, Satan. You are in my way. Here's Peter saying, I'm in your way. I left everything to help you on the way. Now Jesus said, you're in my way. You're an offense and a hindrance and a snare to me. Good Lord. For you are reminding what partakes not of nature and quality of God, but of men. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, here's how it works. Let me give you a real life example. For example, somebody goes through something where fear strikes them. Well, I'll just tell you an example. I had a gentleman call me one time, this was a while ago, and they had seemingly lost all of their income. And just out of nowhere, there was no more income coming in. And they told me that, and the very next thing out of their mouth was, I'm so worried. Well, as a man of God, knowing what that worry will bring into that person's life, I got to do something about that. Now, I can sit back like a doctor that gets a report that says somebody that has cancer, and you say, man, you know what? I know we have treatments that can help this, and it's not too late. We've caught it in time, and I know that we can get some radiation, some chemotherapy, some medicine to boost their strength and different things. I know we have the ability to do that, but man, I can't bear to tell them. I don't want to upset their family. That's not a good doctor. The good shepherd will speak up when need to be spoken up. So he says to me, I'm worried. I don't have any money. I'm worried. Well, I know what worry opens the door. It's a sin, number one, but it opens the door to the enemy. It pushes your faith aside and opens the door to the devil to come on in. So now, as the man of God who's instructed in the Bible to reprove, rebuke, and correct people, to show people in which way their lives are wrong, Paul told that if you're going to be a pastor, Timothy, you better have a backbone. You better stand up and show people when things... And so when that comes, what am I supposed to do? Oh my gosh, if I tell him, it's wrong to worry. He could be mad at me. And so then, now this guy received it well. But I've had cases where I'll say, listen, that worry's doing nothing for you. The Bible says to be anxious for nothing. Your situation's included in that. And they'll say to me, how dare you? You don't know what I'm going through. And that's where people are not correctable in receiving the Word. Or sitting down with somebody that's going through a financial test or trial. I mean, you wouldn't believe the people that just argue with me about the Word. It's like, listen, this is not going to change. It doesn't change. It's stayed this way for 2,000 years. It's not changing. It's the Word of God. And in fact, we just have it in our life within 2,000 years, but it was with God forever, the Word. This was always the right way. And I'll say, okay, well, let's break this down. First of all, are you faithfully tithing and giving off? No. You have to do that. It's the doorway into prosperity. I can't afford to tithe. Yes, you can, I'll tell them. If you do it first, you can afford it. What do you mean? Well, if the first bit of money you get, you take 10% off that. But see, when people start worrying about their bills, worrying about their wants and all their desires. Listen, I would rather eat ramen noodles and bread for the whole year than to take the tithe from God. I'm just telling you the truth. I'd rather have no television. I'd rather have no internet. I'd rather drive around the junkiest vehicle. I'm not robbing God. I just know it works too well. The tithe works. The prosperity message works. The giving message works. And people will argue with me. I can't afford to tithe. How dare you say that? And then they'll bring out the emotional factors. I gotta put food on my kids' kids' tables. I'm saying, listen, you don't understand. You're going to bless your kids better in the long run if you'll start being faithful and doing what God has said to do. And they'll argue with me and they'll get so mad. So mad and huffy and puffy and boom, see ya, sayonara, gone. Well, what am I supposed to do in that situation? Oh, you know what? Just keep doing it your way. It's really working well for you. I mean, put yourself in my shoes. You have a love for people. You know this is the answer for them. And at times, it's going to rub them the wrong way. What am I supposed to do? Not tell them the truth? I mean, there's a way you can do it. And, you know, I've had to grow in some of those areas. There's ways you can be sweet about it and things like that. But there's also, here's my thinking. And this is nothing against Pastor Michael Laketic. I would never say a bad word about him. Just he will admit this. He has to really try hard to be sweet. He does. He admits it. He actually will say that on Sunday morning he has on his notes, smile. He stands in that office of a prophet, and if you read about the biblical prophets, they are some weird characters, man. I mean, in the sense of natural way, I mean, personality-wise, they're off by themselves, they do things different, they're just, you understand what I mean, that's not putting anybody down, it's just the truth. And he'll even say, I gotta really, because that pastor's gift is the third least gift out of the apostle and the prophet in his life. And listen, I want to just tell you something, the truth. When he corrects me, there's no bun to lay it down first. It's just the hamburger meat, the steak. It's just boom. It's not, oh, I love. When Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, notice he didn't say to Peter, now Peter, I want to thank you for everything you've done for me. And you know, Peter, you're really helping me out here. And you're such a blessing. And I get that you left everything. No, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You're a snare unto me. That's my pastor to me. He doesn't, well, you know, put the bun down, then maybe slide the meat in, then top it off with a nice soft squishy bun to make you feel good and go on your way. No. Just tell it like it is. It's amazing to me that people will focus on the delivery of it instead of the content. Well, because why? They're trying to pass the buck. Or people say, you looked right at me when you said that thing and you knew I was going through that. I've never intentionally done that. If I've done it, I'm sorry. But even if I did, what does it matter? You're still wrong. You're still wrong. Be correctable. My pastor in a meeting, if I'm doing something wrong, he can call me up and broadcast it to the whole stinking church. I don't care. I just want to get it right. People will focus on anything but their problem, the delivery of it. I mean, I try to be sweet. I think I've been pretty sweet at times, but Jesus wasn't. Jesus wasn't at times of correction. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Just be correctable.
Amen.
Just be correctable. Well, we're almost done here. John 2 and verse 13. You know, I try not to go for more than an hour, but remember, we started at 6:30, but we didn't start preaching at 6:30. So 7:30 is not your cue to turn me off. We started preaching like at 6:40, 6:45. So we have some time here. John 2 and verse 13. Praise God. And see, you know what's awesome is I know that I'm preaching to the choir, those listening by live stream preaching to the choir, but I'll tell you what, it's just good to be guarded, isn't it?
Amen.
Just good to be guarded in these things. And it helps me when I get smacked up by my pastor or when I'm in a service and Pastor Nancy just, I mean, you talk about a woman that's bold. I mean, the way, when she talks about child, I mean, things like that, it's like bam, 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 but it keeps you straight.
Yeah.
Keeps you right. It sure does. Sure does, glory. I'm thankful for it. And when I hear those things, I'm like, man, I'm in good company. That's how Jesus did it. Glory to God. And I don't get offended. John 2 and verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen, sheep, and doves, and the changers of money sitting. Now notice this. This wasn't Jesus flew off the handle. This was a premeditated action. Because it says when he had made, because isn't premeditated murder worse than, I mean, it's one of the worst people think about it and plan it, rather than just a passionate crime or heat of the moment, whatever the legal term for it is. But he had made a scourge of small cords. He sat down and constructed this thing, thinking the whole time it was a premeditated thing that he was about to do. It wasn't like he walked into the temple, saw people treating the house of God wrong, making money off the house of God, which is wrong, by the way. Which, thank God, we've never really had an issue with that. What I mean by that? You don't come here and try to pass out your business cards for business and try to put a flyer up. Listen, if people ask you about your business, that's one thing, right? You'd be nice and tell them, but they're trying to make money off the house of God. And there's been people that have done that. That's dangerous. It's dangerous to use the house of God to prey on people. That's just not going to go on here. But anyways, that's what he found. He didn't walk in there and see this and then all of a sudden rage and flip out. No, he said, okay. He said, I can't just do this with my hands. I'm telling you, this is Jesus. I can't just, go in there and do this. I'm going to go back. I'm going to make a whip. So when I go in there with some authority. This is your sweet Jesus that you love so much, that you go crying to when Pastor Mike rips you a new one. And Jesus says, listen, you got it easy with him. After tonight, now you're going to be able to say, I got it easy with my pastor.
Amen.
Yeah. Are you allowed to say rip you a new one in church? I said it twice, so... Verse 15, when he made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Now close your eyes and picture that. The Bible leaves out doesn't sometimes get you the human drama. He went in there with a whip and is whipping the place, tipping tables over, money, animals are scattering. People are going, holy cow, who's this guy? And he's flipping out. Jesus, boldness. When things weren't right, he did something about it. And he didn't care who agreed with him. He didn't care about what people would say after about him. He didn't care. One thing that I've had to repent about is not leaving it in the pulpit. I've had to repent. Dr. Dufresne has taught it. Dr. Summerall taught it that when you preach, you leave it in the pulpit. Don't take it home with you. Just speak the word and just be done with it. Yeah. Not worry about who it offended and who he upset and who it might. Just the word. Why do I have to make an excuse for the truth?
Amen.
The truth is the truth.
That's right.
But this sweet Jesus, glory to God, overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things from here. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. In verse 17, his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. He had such a hunger and a zeal for the house of God that things were going to be right. And things are going to be right here. There ain't going to be no predators come in this church and prey on the young kids and prey on, we're going to make sure people are safe, glory to God, and that nobody's in danger when they come here. Hallelujah. I just love the house of God and the people of God too much. We're going to be a church of order. We're not going to have little kids running around and doing things. And if we do, we'll get them corrected and it will stop. Hallelujah. What I mean, like in service, kids climbing on the seats and running around. That's just not going to happen here. People running all over the place, open mic night, anybody can just say it. Nope, not here. Not here, glory to God. Just not going to happen. Well, are you ready for the ending? Say yes!
Yeah.
Finally! Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Now I'm going to show you this. Ways to avoid offense. This is the way you avoid offense when the word is given to you through either the Holy Ghost, through your private meditation, through the preaching of the word, or in counsel with somebody that's teaching you the word. This is the way you avoid offense. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1, and he went out from thence, came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath day had come, he began to teach. Well, what was he teaching? The word. In the synagogues, and many hearing him were astonished. Now, they weren't astonished because they were impressed. They weren't astonished because of this life-changing message. And they were astonished saying, where does this man have these things from? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were what? Offended at him. Well, what was he doing? Preaching the word. And what'd they say? Who is he to tell us what we can do and can't do and what's good for our lives? He's just the carpenter. In fact, we saw him running around when he was a little boy. We saw him being mischievous as a young, teenager and doing things kids do. And we saw him, we've seen him before. He's just normal. We know his family. And he stands up here thinking he can tell us. And they got offended, didn't they? And he said in verse 5, or verse 4, and Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and he healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. How do we avoid offense? What was their problem? They looked at it as a mere man telling them. Let me tell you something. I don't mean this. I'm not trying to demean myself for humor. I'm just being truthful here. There's nothing really spectacular about me in the sense of I don't have a commanding presence. I'm not very eloquent when I speak. You know, some people can just captivate a whole audience. I mean, just thousands by the way they can speak and the way they can deliver. I'm short, right? I'm a little stocky. I'm not like this, you know, just some people just with their presence can command. And if, and so most of you, I'm sorry to say this, are older than me. I don't mean that mean. That's just the truth, right? I mean, I just turned 22 in January, you know, I just turned 22. So, but anyways, I actually don't give a rip about my age. I can't wait till I'm in my 50s, 60s, because they're going to be better than my 30s. Glory to God, better than my 40s. But anyway, you're thinking, well, just wait till you get there, and we'll see if you say that. I know what you're thinking. Praise the Lord. But if you start thinking, who's he to tell me this? Who's he to try to correct me? I'm older than him. I've heard his stories from the past of what a crazy person he used to be. Who in the heck does he think he is to try to correct me? That's when you'll get offended at what I tell you. When you look at me as just, he's just a man giving me his man's ideas and man's opinions. When Jesus was standing up teaching in the synagogues, he was delivering the life-changing message of the Word of God, and they couldn't get past the man. They couldn't get past the man. The carpenter, the kid we saw running around, the family, that we know him. He's familiar to us. I can't get past, who is this guy? He's just, I mean, we're just in a little church with 14 people tonight. Who does he think he is? If you hold me to that standard, when I need to correct you and speak in your life, it's going to rub you the wrong way. Because you're going to think, well, who does he think he is? What gives him this authority? Well, then we'll close with this verse, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians. See, the man, Mike Anderson, you're right, can do nothing for you, but the gift that's on my life will change your life. Glory to God. Amen. Paul said, I magnify my office. I don't magnify the man or the person or the personality. I magnify what's on my life, and I know I got something on my life to help people. I just, it's the truth, and you need to know it. You need to know that I know it, because then you can be confident that when I tell you something, I'm confident that it's going to change your life.
That's right.
Praise God. I love that. Paul said, I magnify my office. He wasn't shy about it. For this cause, verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, we thank God without ceasing. You know what that means? They thank God for this a lot. What he's about to say we thank God for. He says we can thank God for it all the time. You know what that shows me? The importance of it.
Yeah.
If he's praying about something all the time without ceasing, it shows that there's a note of importance attached to what he's praying for. Because he wouldn't waste his time. He says, when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it in the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Listen to what it says in the Amplified. And Heather, if you could pull that up, that'd be great. And we also especially thank God continually for this. Now he's going to tell us this. That when you receive the message of God, which you heard from us, human beings, men with flaws, men that aren't perfect, you welcomed it not as the word of mere men, but as it truly is, the word of God, which is effectually at work in you who believe, exercising its superhuman power in those who adhere to and trust in and rely on it. See, if you put the whole Bible in context, you'll see, okay, God gave gifts unto men. One of them's a pastor. He puts something special on a pastor to protect me, to perfect me, the Bible says, to train me up in the ministry. And when you look at it, that when it's being delivered, if I stick with the Bible, it's not just coming from the guy that used to screw up all the time. The guy that doesn't command a room maybe with his presence. The guy that maybe is twice younger than you and you've been around the block way more than him. You won't look at it from that. You'll say, there's some jack on what he's telling me. There's some superhuman power on what he's telling me to change my life. And when you look at it that way, again, we're not talking about hero worship. We're not talking about you worship me. I'm talking about just a recognizing that there's a gift and that it's the Word of God. I mean, I'm the first of anybody to say that really what I'm doing is nothing special. I'm just telling you what is special. I'm trying to get you to believe and to do what is special. I'm not telling you what I think you should do, glory to God, or what I think would be best for you. I'm telling you what the Bible would be best for you. So let's just be people that are correctable. Let's just be people that are open for God to move and to speak into our lives, whether it's through somebody else, whether it's through His Word, whether it's through the Holy Ghost. And let's grow. Let's be a Word church. Let's not put up with the garbage of the world. Let's not be concerned with filling our seats and preaching fluff to make sure that we just keep the masses. Uh-uh. Let's preach the superhuman, life-changing power of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word. We're so thankful. Father, I know we say thank you for the Word every time we're done, and it can seem to be repetitious, but Father, we are so thankful. Let's just right now show Him how thankful we are by our words. Let's bless Him tonight. We bless you, Father, for the life-changing power of the Word of God. We're grateful for the Word. We're thankful for the Word. Lord, we acknowledge we're not perfect. We acknowledge there's things that we could do better. We acknowledge there's things that maybe in our life are not completely lined up with your Word. Father, we don't get offended at those things. We don't push those things aside. We thank you for those things. You're just trying to better us. You're just trying to help us, Father God. We bless you tonight. We glorify you tonight. We honor you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Of course, if anybody's listening in the future or right now on archives or listening in the future and you've never received Jesus and you want to go to heaven and you want to have a relationship with Him, the Bible says if you call on His name, you'll be saved. So you just simply, if you believe in Jesus, say, Lord, I believe you came, you died, you rose again. Come into my heart and then get a hold of us and we'll get you hooked up somewhere that will feed you this message, that will help you to get a better life. Father, we're just so grateful. Let's just pray. Right now, let's just worship Him and wait on Him. Hallelujah. Making sure there's nothing else that He wants to do. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. Jake, would you come forward, please? Hallelujah. Vinny or Jeff, get behind him. Hallelujah. Just keep worshiping Him. Just keep worshiping Him. Hallelujah. 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 Jake, in the Spirit, I just saw this. I saw a door standing there. And on the door, it said, this is a door into more. Hallelujah. So there's obviously something the Lord wants to tell you that He wants you to walk through a door that will get you into more. Praise God. And I saw over top of that door that it said this, the door of faithfulness. The door of faithfulness, if you'll walk through the door of faithfulness, it'll lead you to more. So stay faithful. Stay vigilant. Stay sober. And I don't mean sober from substance abuse. I mean stay sober in your mind, renewing your mind to the Word of God. Continue to be correctable. Continue to be open to the things of God. Even the small things. The Bible says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in that which is much. Be faithful in your words. Be faithful in your money. Be faithful in your actions. Be faithful with your eyes. Be faithful with your ears. That faithfulness will open that door, and that door will be more. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Let's give Him praise and glory for that. We thank you for that, Father. Let's give Him praise and glory for that. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for more. We thank you for more. And yes, Lord, that's true for all of us. Absolutely. Yes, that's true for all of us. You say, well, I wish I'd have got a word like that. You did. The Bible says a faithful man will abound with blessings. So, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for that encouragement unto him, for showing me that, Father God. Thank you for showing me that. We thank you for that, Lord. We bless your name tonight, Father. Let's just keep worshiping him, making sure that there's no... This is what I mean by a spirit church, a word and spirit church. Demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. We bless you, Father God. We magnify you, Father God. Anything else, Lord? We bless you. No prodnasia ndashinda botaka. Yes, just begin. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, begin to pray in other tongues. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, just keep worshiping Him. If you want to get filled, by all means, come forward. I'll lay hands on you and you get filled. Oh, Father, I don't want to rush this. If there's anything else. Father, we love you tonight. We love you tonight. We glorify you. We praise you. We magnify you. We thank you for all the blessings, Father. All the good things you've given us. Father, bless them as they go forward. We thank you. Angels go before them. Bear them up in their hands, lest they dash their foot against a stone. Say, no evil will befall, no plague come near their dwelling. We love you, Lord. We're going forward in the Word and Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you so much for coming. I so appreciate it. And we'll see you Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. You're dismissed.